is Christian Questions.
Robert Quillen once said, "A happy marriage is the union of two good forgivers." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can also contact us at our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
And folks, we are truly glad you've chosen to spend some time with us on this fine Sunday morning. Good morning, Jonathan. What's happening today?
Good morning, Rick. Our subject this morning, marriage. Why bother?
Marriage.
And our theme text comes from 1 Corinthians 7, verse 28. But if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet, such will have trouble in this life. And I'm trying to spare you.
What a great way to start off the subject of marriage. And the reason we're talking about marriage, Jonathan, is Friday was the day to celebrate love. Valentine's Day, from the little candy hearts that say, "Be mine," to the big box of chocolates, from the gifts and the cards to the dinners out and the special time together. It was a day of appreciation, a day of expression, and a day to be perhaps more vulnerable than normal. Not to mention a day that retailers live for. So, what is love? What is marriage? Do they still go together like a, well, you know. So, how are we doing these days with love? Not just with one day of celebrating, but with our everyday living in love. And when we talk about marriage, we always, love and marriage do seem to always belong together, right?
That's right.
And so the question today for you all folks is, as we're going through this the next couple of hours, is what is the state of marriage today? What does marriage look like today? Does it look like it should look? Should it look different? What's happening? What's different? And what should we do about it? So there, how about that?
So many questions.
So many questions in so little time. That's right. And folks, this morning, I just want to tell you that for your marriage questions, we have once a year coming into our studios a very special guest. He normally does not bring on this persona, but on our program that we talk about love and marriage, this part of him just comes bubbling forth as a fountain of youth and exuberance. Yes, it's Jonathan, the Love Doctor.
Right. Okay, moving on.
Questions about love and marriage. It's 866-985-4255. Ask for the Love Doctor and we'll hook you up. All right, Jonathan, let's get started here. Just by putting a little bit of perspective on the matter, let's go to a program. It's called the Full Circle Program. It's a television program, and it's going to be talking about some statistics from 1960 versus today. Very interesting perspective on marriage.
Yeah, let's pick up on that stat that you alluded to, Denise. In 1960, the year before Princess Diana was born, nearly 70% of American adults were married. 70% married. Now, only about half are. Mm-hmm. Eight times as many children are born out of wedlock.
Yeah. Well, I think that's largely because the taboos around that have lessened, let's be totally honest, right? I mean, the article even states the fact that, you know, now it's not so taboo for people to be cohabitating before they're married. It's not so taboo in particular, you know, I think particularly in the West, I don't know about other cultures, it's not as taboo to bring a child into the world out of wedlock.
All right, so is this alarming, or should this be a relief? Like, whew, the taboos are gone, finally. I mean, did you hear
this
that?
This is alarming.
It is. It is alarming. Eight times the number of children are born out of wedlock now versus in 1960. Eight times the number. And, you know, the comments were, well, you know, because it's not looked down upon so much anymore. And I guess I mean, are people, when you say, is it alarming or is it a relief? You said it's alarming, you know, but the other side of the issue says, well, are people finally shedding all of those old fashioned stereotypes? Or, like you said, are they heading down a path to destruction? And, yeah, we're talking about marriage, Jonathan, but we're going to be talking about it from a very specific, several specific standpoints. And we're going to get right down into the core of the matter here. Are we in trouble in terms of love and marriage today? And, again, folks, our number is 866-985-4255.
We want to hear what you have to say about today's topic. Post your comments on our Facebook page. Go to our blog at ChristianQuestions.com.
All right. So, Jonathan, let's go take a look at the end times for a minute, because I think that it really does show the state of marriage. And you and I were talking about this just before the program started. 2 Timothy 3:1-5.
But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these.
That just sounds awful.
It does. That is a definite sign we're at the end of this age.
Yeah, because it sounds awful as a prophecy, but it sounds even worse when you look around and say, wait a minute.
That's here and now.
This is what I see.
Wow.
So, you know, and there are movements everywhere that will tell you that marriage is the most traditional sense, is simply just a relic, something to look back upon but to not look forward to. That's the state of where we are going, and that is troubling.
It is
troubling, because when you look at marriage and you look at history, the history of humanity, marriage has been one of the core values in all of human history.
It's held it together.
Yes. And so without those core values, what do you expect you're going to get? I mean, what do you expect? I mean, and I got to have to control myself, because I can see myself getting really sarcastic on this program, because a lot of this makes me very frustrated, to be honest with you. And one of the things that makes me frustrated, Jonathan,
it's coming up.
It's coming up right here and right now. There's something called the Men's Rights Movement, MRM. It's a growing worldwide movement that seems to me is there to counteract the feminist movement. That, now, I haven't read enough or heard enough for them to exactly say that, so that's my opinion.
It seems to. Okay.
Right. That's all my right. opinion. That's where I think it really belongs. And we got a short clip here from a YouTube video from the men's rights movement. And this guy is talking about, he's one of the I don't know if he's a founder, but he's one of the head guys in this thing. And he's reading a letter from a man who was involved in the men's rights movement, who sort of didn't follow instructions, if you will. So let's listen to his response to this.
This is one of these people that claim that he got into this movement and he did so before he was married and was warned thoroughly by the repository of information on what a bad deal marriage is for men that exists on the internet, in the manosphere, in the men's movement. You know, he was thoroughly warned and decided to go ahead and get married anyway. So this is one of those guys who was like, oh, you know, men going their own way means men going their own way. So you can't tell me not to get married, which I can't. You know, I don't tell anybody. I don't try to demand anybody not get married. But I'm certainly doling out advice that you can take and which you also can refuse to take. And this is one of those people that refused to take the advice of not getting married and went ahead with it anyway.
So one of the key core points of this movement is marriage stinks. If you're a man, don't ever do it.
Whoa.
And you know, they're very, very straightforward about it, very plain about it, and they say it's going to cost you your time, your freedom, your life, your money, your kids. You're going to lose it all. You're going to lose it all.
So don't do it.
Right. So just simply don't do it. So and you know, it's I have so much to say about it, but I'll refrain from that for now, because I know we'll come back around to
it. It's hard, I know, Rick.
And folks, as we look at the subject, again, we focus once a year, we focus on marriage around Valentine's Day, because people are thinking about love and romance and all of those things. And the question is, where are we in marriage today? And do you like the state of marriage today? And what do you think is happening? What do you think we should do about it? And actually, Jonathan, there's two questions that I think are really positive questions that we want to touch on and see if we can get some response on. The first is, what is the real strength of a man in the marriage relationship? And folks, we'd love to hear from you on that. And also, the second, what is the real strength of a woman in the marriage relationship? So, folks, if you have thoughts on that, we'd love to hear from you at 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And stay connected to Rick and I at ChristianQuestions.com, no matter the day or time.
And actually, we're going to hear from you and I are going to talk about that question later on in the program.
Yes, we are.
And we've asked our wives, who are both here in the studio, to make a comment about that question later on in the program.
Yes.
All right. So I know Jewel is really excited about it. She's, every time I mention it, she rolls her eyes like, do you have to do this? All right. You know, so we heard about the men's rights movement, Jonathan. It's thoroughly depressing, if you ask me.
Yep.
Because you know what? I think marriage, properly approached, is the greatest human institution that ever existed.
Amen.
I absolutely, positively, firmly believe that. And to see what's happening to it, it really breaks my heart. Let's look at the other side of the picture. We heard the men's rights movement side. Let's look at the core value of marriage and where it comes from. Genesis 2, 20 to 24.
The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him.
Okay, so Adam was created without Eve on purpose to realize a need.
So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which had been taken from the man, and brought her to the man.
So out of man was created woman.
The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh."
So we quote this scripture incessantly when we talk about marriage.
This is God's design from the beginning,
Rick. And that's why we quote the scripture, because it gives you the original blueprint. For goodness sakes, if you want to figure out how something's supposed to work, look at the original plan. And if the original plan is built by the original planner, the creator of the universe,
it's the best way to go, Rick.
You got something pretty, pretty, pretty good, I'd say. All right? So let's just go through some quick observations here on this first marriage.
The noticeable absence of the woman revealed the emptiness man had without her.
And that was by design. What else?
God's creation of woman from man gives a sense of equality and companionship.
And it really does give a sense of equality. You know, the idea of being created from his side.
Oh, I love that picture.
It just, and is that a coincidence? I don't think so.
This, at last, is bone of my bones, etc. Adam's companionship desire is now fulfilled.
Because he sees how the world of nature around him works, and he feels like, you know, something is missing here, and it was. And not only was something fulfilled, but it was fulfilled on a higher level than nature could have given him.
Therefore, a man leaves his home and clings, implies a long life devotion.
So the idea of clinging is it's a super glue kind of a thing. That's it. You're attached, and that's the end of that.
And they become one flesh, inseparable and united in every way.
It is a beautiful, beautiful picture. And folks, you know what? It's a picture that actually can come true.
Mm-hmm.
And along with, we're going to tell a story throughout the program, Jonathan, of a guy named Nick Wojcik. Wojcik, I have a hard time pronouncing his name. He's a man who was born without arms and legs.
This is an incredible story.
It is one of the most inspirational individuals you'll ever see. You want to look him up on YouTube and just take a look at some of the talks he gives and what he does with his life. So we're going to introduce the story of Nick Wojcik here. Fred, next time. Bye.
Every now and again in this job, you meet someone who quite simply makes your spirit soar. That's how I felt when I first met Nick Wojcik. Nick was born in Australia without any arms or legs. Yet he lives a life that's more joyful and more fulfilling than most able-bodied people I know. All that was missing from his world was a special lady. Well, 4 years on, Nick is now a married man. Recently, he invited me back to Los Angeles to meet the woman who's made his life complete.
So this commentator had met him 4 years ago, and when he was single and just going about his business. And when he met him at that time, he saw a man full of joy and compassion and giving and enthusiasm, and it blew him away because literally the man has no arms and no legs.
Amazing.
And it is just utter inspiration to watch the man work, to watch what he says, to look at the expressions on his face, and to listen to his message and feel the true genuineness of his heart in all that he does. This is a story about a man who found something valuable where there was nothing and made a life, and now we're going to be talking about the story of his getting married.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, marriage. Why bother? Coming up, marriage isn't easy. Men and women are wired differently, aren't they? How so? And what are the men's and women's responsibilities to marriage? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning. marriage. Why bother? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
That's right, and I'm reminding you that sitting next to me here in the studio is the Love Doctor, Jonathan the Love Doctor. Have your love questions, call in and ask Jonathan. He'll take care of you.
Right.
So let's get back to the core value of marriage. We talked about the Genesis scripture, the original constitution and institution of marriage. And you know, before that, we heard from the men's rights movement.
Yeah.
And they're, he says,
not happy with them.
Neither am I, because they completely miss the point. But the question is, are men justified in their negativity toward marriage? Are they justified? And, you know, there seems to be a lot of information out there that gives men reasons to complain.
Okay.
All right.
And, what are they?
Well, let's go to a soundbite from Helen Smith, PhD. She is the author of the book Men on Strike. And in this, she goes through six reasons men don't like the marriage institution, if
you will. Like they avoid it?
Yeah. Now, and we're not going to go through all six. We're just going to touch on a couple.
Okay.
But just to give a sense of some of the things that go into the social thinking of men.
The first reason that men don't want to get married is that they'll lose respect. In the past, a man wasn't considered a true adult until he was married and had children. Today, however, husbands and fathers are the butts of jokes, and the media constantly portrays them as buffoons and bumbling idiots.
And that's true.
So it's media's fault.
Well, I wouldn't say it's the media's fault, but I would say that the media certainly contributes to this notion, this aura of men as husbands and fathers being bumbling idiots. And you do see the husband and the father being the butt end of a lot of jokes.
You do.
And so you can see that. Now, look, here's my opinion. If you're a real man, get over it, all right? You know, just get over it and do the right thing. But that's just my opinion. We know that men and women are wired differently. You mentioned this before. And as a result, men and women are actually shown different roles in scriptures. And we've gone over this many times, but we want to touch on it again. Ephesians 5, 21 to 24.
And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything.
Okay, so you have this simple Christian admonition, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Now, you know, the question is, what does this mean? But the other thing, Jonathan, is notice how simple the command is.
Yes.
If there's not a lot of explanation.
No.
Just says, wives, be subject to your husbands, just as the church is subject to Christ.
We have different roles, and different doesn't mean less important, Rick.
Right, right. I'll save comments on that for a little bit. Let's go back now. You know, with that thought, with the idea of what Helen Smith introduced it about men not wanting to lose respect. Let's go back one more time, and this will be the last time, I promise, to the men's rights movement about this guy talking about this other guy who writes in saying, okay, you know, I'm looking for your help now because I did get married and it didn't work out. And let's listen to his reaction to this.
And you know, surprise, surprise. His little cupcake decided to act on her hypergamous instincts and is now divorcing him and cheating on him. he messaged me, and he was kind of coming on this tone like, well, you know, what does the men's movement do for men like me that are in this situation now that can use help? Will the men's movement, you know, help me out, help men out when they really need it in the middle of divorce court? You know, or are you guys just going to make a bunch more videos saying how marriage is bad, et cetera, et cetera? So this is a person who came into this movement, who knew the risks of marriage, who was instructed not to get married, and now he believes that it's the men's movement's responsibility to now dig into their pockets and come to the rescue and bail this guy out.
So his attitude is, look, we told you you should never get married because marriage is the worst deal you'll ever see in your entire life, and you did it anyway, so, well, you know, too bad about
oh,
you.
Oh, well.
Yeah, goodbye. You know, the thing about that, Jonathan, it's so frustrating, is it seems that the idea of the men's rights movement is an expectation for failure.
Good point.
That's what the whole thing is built on, is saying we expect you men to fail in marriage.
So don't do it.
So don't do it, because it's going to hurt you. Failure is going to hurt you. And, you know, when you think about a man, is that the way a real man would approach a challenge?
Sounds like a boy's perspective.
It sounds like a little boy. Oh, I'm afraid I'm going to fall down. Well, get up, dummy. I'm not talking to a boy. I'm talking to a man here. Okay?
Yep.
And it makes me angry, even, when you think about this and you say, look, what is wrong with you men? You're acting...
Grow up.
Right. You're acting like boys. You're afraid to fail. And is that a manly thing, I ask you?
We all fail.
Or right? Are you going to approach it and say, I'm going to make this work because I'm a man?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can say, well, I'm a man and I'm afraid of failure. That's because that's what they're saying. Okay? It sounds like Hebrews 12:15-17 has embraced the attitude in Hebrews 12:15-17 has embraced the men's rights movement.
See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it may be defiled, that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears.
So you have a root of bitterness being described there, and it sounds to me like the men's rights movement is built upon roots of bitterness and the expectation for failure. And you know what? When you expect to fail, guess what you get?
Failure.
Exactly. That's exactly what you get. You get what you expect. You get what you apply yourself towards. And that's what they're really saying. Apply yourself towards failure. And it just makes no sense to me.
It sounds to me like live selfishly,
yes,
instead.
Exactly. Exactly.
How sad.
Exactly. Again, folks, we want to find out from you what your thoughts are on the real strength of a man in the marriage relationship and the real strength of a woman in the marriage relationship. So give us a call. Let us know. 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And our website is christianquestions.com, and go to it and sign up for CQ Rewind, the full edition.
And Jonathan, that is a great tool that we offer at christianquestions.com. It is a free service. It sums up each and every Sunday morning broadcast that we do here from the studio.
There's graphics, there's illustrations, there's bonus material on things we don't even have time to cover.
And it's a free service. You can opt out really easily if you don't like it. With the press of a button, and they'll never bother you again. You get an email with a link for a PDF file. Every week after the Rewinders put it all together, they do a tremendous job.
And marriage is so important, Rick. It's worth signing up for this important subject.
It really is, because it makes it easy to understand and easy to follow. Seeker Rewind, the full edition. Sign up now at ChristianQuestions.com. Okay, Jonathan, we had the command to women to be subject to their husbands, the command to men. Now, remember how simple the command to women was?
Yes.
Okay, here's the command to men, Ephesians 5:25-31.
Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word, and he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless.
So the apostle is explaining, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. And then he goes into...
It doesn't get any bigger than that
right.
Love.
And it goes into this great explanation of giving her, your wife, such incredible honor.
Yes.
That's
yes.
the point. It's to honor her with this highest level of honor, because that's what Jesus does for us.
And that's what she deserves.
And that's not where it ends. The command to men goes further.
So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.
See, the apostle was a man, and he knew men and how men think. He said, okay, here's a way to get to you. Take care of your wife the way you would take care of yourself.
Hey, that makes sense.
And that way, it puts it in the greatest perspective possible. So there's a whole paragraph there instructing men. Let's go back to Helen Smith, the author of the book Men on Strike. We'll go to reason number three of why men don't want to get married.
The third reason that men don't want to get married is that they could lose their children and their money. Men are aware of the dangers of divorce. Specifically, that the courts tend to favor mothers. Men only get custody of their children 10% of the time, and overwhelmingly are responsible for paying child support and alimony.
So, again, it's a fear of failure.
That's right.
And, yes, women are overwhelmingly favored in courts in relation to children. And, incidentally, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because children need their mother.
That's right.
And if you are going to split up, that's, in most cases, I actually believe that's where the children should go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, should there be a split up? I don't believe there should be. And so the whole point is, if there is going to be failure in marriage, what have you done to avert the failure before it happens? What have you done to prepare yourself for marriage before that happens? Does marriage just happen because you fall in love, or does it happen because you build in love? Does it happen because you decide to create a life that can actually work together, or are you going at it just on a whim?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject, marriage, why bother? If you have a thought, give us a call at 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
So, Jonathan, as we go through this, you say, you know, are men justified in their negativity toward marriage? There are certainly things that you need to be concerned about.
But man up.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, the idea is, so you think about it, so what are you going to do instead? Well, the answer is, well, we'll just move in together. And folks, statistically, that is the worst thing you can do, because their failure is more rampant. There are not even any statistics to cover the failure rate in moving in together. So, but for men, for some reason, you know, you get all the goods without any of the marriage commitment. And so what happens there? When you fail, it maybe doesn't feel as bad. But,
right.
But you know what? You failed.
That's right.
And so let's man up. Let's call it what it is. And let's decide to put ourselves in a position to, like you said, to man up and do what we need to do. So going back over the two commands in Ephesians, the one to the wife and the one to the husbands.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference there, huh?
Yes. Let's look at those observations. The first one, women, love and be subject.
Right. Okay.
The next, men, love and give yourself up for her.
Okay.
The next, men, love and care for her as your own body.
Okay.
The next, men, your love for her becomes your way of self-preservation. The next, men, cherish her. And the next, men, leave all other ties for her sake.
So,
this list is one-sided.
Well, it is. It says one thing for women, and about, you know, 17 things that men have to remember. And why is it? Because men don't listen the first time.
We need repetition, right? Right.
Rick? The apostle knew it, and there's nothing wrong with it. That's part of being a man. For goodness' sake.
It's okay.
Right. It's okay. Just realize that the scriptures are very firm about our playing our role the way we are supposed to. Again, we are asked to. We are told to scripturally to man up. You know. Here's the thing, Jonathan. I'm getting a little off track here for a second, but being manly is a very appropriate thing in scriptures.
Sure, it is.
To be manly, though, is to rise above selfishness and to become selfless, because that's what a man truly is when he's a man.
Absolutely.
Let's go to our Nick Wojcik story again, the second part of Nick and finding true love in his life.
I definitely had doubts that I'd ever get married, that I'd ever meet anybody who would ever love me and spend the rest of their life with me, because I'm Prince Charming with a couple bits and pieces missing. You know, those things were important, you know, and I'd see everybody else has them. So why could I ever compete with all the other guys and ever, you know, find my princess?
A man that's missing his arms and his legs.
Right, and he hear how he talks about it. Yeah, I'm Prince Charming with a couple bits and pieces missing. You know, his arms
what an
and his
attitude.
Legs. Right, and you know, you hear that enthusiasm, that just that general genuine love for life in his description. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4.
Do nothing for selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others.
And a scripture like that reminds me of how Nick views life. And he ended up in this story you're going to see, ends up in a wonderful, wonderful situation.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, marriage. Why bother? Coming up, so what is the real strength of a man in the marriage relationship? From God's perspective, and oh yes, from a woman's. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, marriage. Why bother? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
And Jonathan, I just got to start answering that question, marriage, why bother? Why bother? Because it is a God-sanctioned, most fulfilling human arrangement.
That's right.
That's what it is for both parties. And if we can put ourselves in the position of engaging in that marriage full force, wholeheartedly.
Think of the blessing.
There is a peace and happiness, underlying happiness, that will drive you for the rest of your days.
And you won't get anywhere else.
That's right. Absolutely, positively. So, this segment, what's the real strength of a man in the marriage relationship? We're going to at least hear from one of our wives this segment. Proverbs 18:22.
He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord.
See, that's good. That's what we were saying.
Hey, we want that.
So how does this not mean that there's no, this does not mean that there's no thinking before the finding.
Oh, good point.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, and that's really, really, really important. Luke 14:28 is a good scriptural principle.
Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it?
So a diligent man puts his thinking into his planning and then builds that on that foundation. And with marriage, it's the same thing. Marriage is not based on a whim, because true love is not a whim.
Or a feeling.
No.
We often get feelings mixed up.
True love is a life-driving principle of how you act and what you do.
Nice.
Let's go, Jonathan, to a soundbite from this guy is the best marriage counselor I've ever heard of anywhere. His name is Mark Gungor, and he is hilarious in how he describes marriage, and he does it from a Christian perspective, and he is so right on with so many things. This is from, we found this from A Tale of Two Brains, Mark Gungor talking about an ox.
And I want to show one other verse to you. Now, you don't have the deep theological training that I have, so you might have a hard time understanding this verse, but I'll try and explain it to you. This is found in Proverbs, and it goes like this: where no oxen are, the manger is clean. Let me explain that to you, okay? What does that mean? What it means, if you're going to have an ox, you're going to have ox poo. All right. Now, if you don't like poo, and most of us are not real big fans of poo, if you don't like poo, the temptation is get rid of the ox. Preaching, brother.
No. I don't want you to get rid of the ox. All right.
So, you know, there's an illustration. He's going to finish that in our next soundbite.
It gets good.
But the point is that, you know, there's good and there's bad together. That's really, really the point here. So as we look at the question, so what's the real strength of a man in the marriage relationship? Let's, Jonathan, let's call on one of our wives here, and they're both looking at us like, no, pick her. We'll start with my wife. And so Trish, how you doing here this morning? You good?
There's a phone call.
Okay. All right. Go ahead to the phone. Trish is the call screener. So if you're calling in, hang on. She'll pick it up
she'll
in just
be right
a second.
There.
So Jewel, we're coming to you. So in your personal marriage relationship with Jonathan, just a personal observation of some of the real strength that he brings to your marriage relationship.
Well, first of all, I don't have the gift to talk as much as you, Rick, but I'm going to try.
Few people do, Jewel.
First of all, I think that one of Jonathan's strengths in our marriage is that he looks to God for direction in our life, and he has always from the very beginning. And he always remembers to analyze all of our experiences and thank the Lord. Even if he doesn't take the time to analyze them, his first thought is always to thank the Lord in the experiences. And that's, to me, something that's very helpful and encouraging and showing his strength as a husband. And he shares the responsibilities and helps me and supports me on a daily basis in everything that we do. And I especially find that one of his strengths is that he finds ways for us to work together to serve the Lord. And that's the most important thing to us, is to serve the Lord together. It's a partnership, and we try to do most of the things that in our life together, because we are best friends. And he doesn't, you know, go out looking to entertain himself elsewhere. It's always the two of us together. And I think that that's an important strength for him.
Jeez, Jonathan, you're the man. I'll just tell you what. You are the man. Thank you.
Now, who is she talking about?
Well, he is the love doctor.
That's right. That's right. You know, you got to practice what you preach there, brother. Very good. Very good job. Excellent job there in terms of putting things in perspective. Jewel, thanks so much. And you know what? That's such an important basis, is where do you look for your guidance? And good job, Jonathan. Good job. You know, Mark Gunger was talking about ox poo.
Yeah.
What kinds of things in life can be poo in a man? Proverbs 26:21.
As charcoal to embers, as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife.
All right, a quarrelsome man. There's a little poo right there.
There.
Okay.
That's tough. Yeah.
Proverbs 6, verses 6 to 11.
Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler.
Okay, so you look at the example of an ant.
Provideth her meat in the summer, and gather her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man.
So there you have the idea that sometimes poo in a man is the couch potato kind of a thing.
Lazy.
Yes, absolutely, positively enough. So why have an ox if that's if your ox is lazy?
And you're good for nothing, right?
Right. So let's go back to Mark Gunger and just sort of finish the analogy, because here we are talking about ox poo. I never thought we would ever do that on our program, but here we are.
Me neither, Rick.
But it is a scripture, Jonathan. It is a scripture. I mean, where no oxen are, the crib or the manger is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. That's the scripture in Proverbs 14:14. Let's go back to Mark Gunger and let him finish the story.
You know, so well, why would you keep the ox around? Because he goes to the second half of the verse. It says, because much increase comes by the strength of the ox. Well, now there's the catch 22. On the one hand, we all love the benefit of the ox, but nobody likes the poo. And what he's trying to tell us here is you cannot have one without the other. There is no such thing as a poo-free marriage. It just doesn't exist. Unless you shoot the ox, okay? But that leads to other problems.
And so it's a great, great analogy. There's no such thing as a, quote, poo-free marriage.
So there's no perfect marriages anywhere.
And that's the point. And so many times you hear men saying, well, you know, when I'm ready, when I've got everything in order, then we can get married and all that.
Never will you have everything in
right.
order, first of all.
It's a matter of deciding that this is the road we will walk together, the way Jewel described you and her together. And folks, listen, you got to understand, when we started this radio program, and it was just such a tiny little thing, and it was you, me, and Sean in the studio.
I remember.
And, you know,
15 years ago.
Yeah, almost 16 now. Now we have this whole crew of people working with us and helping us. And who's right there in the studio every week sitting next to you?
My bride.
It's your wife. And so that's part of the idea and the development that we're looking for. Let's go to the phones, Jonathan.
All right. Well, we have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Gentlemen, good morning. Great topic again.
Thank you.
It bears repeating, doesn't it?
Yes.
You know, this fellow, Mark, his name started with a G, Gungor?
G-U-N-G-O-R.
Yeah, thanks. He's quite a character. You know what he reminds me of? Paul Harvey. Remember the famous Paul Harvey?
Yes.
He passed away. You know, he did years of research on marriage, and his conclusion was that for a successful marriage, two ingredients were necessary. One was God, and the other one, a good sense of humor. I think that I agree with that. Why bother? And as you said, it's God's idea, Genesis 2:24, and I like the one you gave from Proverbs 18:22. And, excuse me, incidentally, on the Proverbs 18:22,
mm-hmm.
he finds a wife, finds a good thing. I think it's reciprocal, that is, it's mutual, that is, she that finds a husband finds a good thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Works both ways. So, I leave you with, since it's God's design to stabilize the human family, to stabilize society, I'll leave you with this, one of my favorite sayings. Perhaps we had it before. Memo, do not put a period where God puts a comma, because God is still speaking. It's his word. He is in control always. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you, Joyce. Appreciate your call.
Good day. Bye-bye.
Good thoughts. Good. What we need for a strong marriage is God and a good sense of humor.
Oh, how true.
And you know what? It's never perfect, but that's okay, because that's part of the journey is developing through the imperfections. And here's what we're going to do, Jonathan. We'll have Trish give her comments in the next segment, first segment of the second hour. So, folks,
all right.
If we're not on in your area, you don't want to miss
you this. You have to listen to this.
My wife's going to be speaking here.
I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious myself, you know? Anyway, if we're not on in your area, go to ChristianQuestions.com, click Listen Live, and stay with us. Jonathan, I just want to get the last soundbite in on Nick Wojcik and his journey toward his wife, because we're almost out of time for this segment.
The moment I saw him and I saw his eyes and his smile and just, you know, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, he's so handsome, like... To me, he's definitely Prince Charming, you know. He might not be perfect in the exterior, but he's a perfect match for me.
It was electric. I mean, when she stood by me, it just felt right.
Can you even imagine? I mean, the man has no arms and no legs.
Unbelievable.
And when you see her talk about him, you just
she see... Lights she lights up, doesn't she?
Does. She glows. And there's a sense of, you know, things don't have to be perfect for them to work. You know, that's the idea here. And, you know, what are some of the strengths of man in a marriage? Well, determination and vision. Genesis 2:24.
For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.
So, you know, there's a sense of determination and vision expressed there. But, Jonathan, you had a whole list of things you wanted to touch on
here. Oh, I
did,
but I don't think we have time for it.
Well, get started on a few of them.
All right. Well, when a woman's looking for a husband, does he have intensity? Is he optimistic? Does he have mentors that he looks up to that you can respect as a woman? What are his goals, his character, his vision? Is he fair? Is he honest? Does he have integrity? Does he forgive? Are you equally yoked? Are you a match? Do you fit in your personalities? And there's several more.
And you know, the whole there's so much more to that. The idea, there is so much strength that a man does bring to a marriage. In the second hour, the first segment, we're going to talk about what a woman brings to a marriage. But a lot of that also is the ability to be self-sacrificing. is the man going to be self-sacrificing? And for a man, the reward of the self-sacrifice is very great, and the offering is also very great.
Amen.
And so, but if the man can have that sense of sacrificing himself for his wife, for his bride-to-be, then there's some great, great things that come from that. We had a lot of scriptures we could not cover in this segment. Go to ChristianQuestions.com, sign up for Seek Your Rewind, the full edition, to find them all there. It's a free service. But folks, in the second hour, we're going to talk a little bit more about the strength that a man brings to a relationship. But more importantly, what does the woman bring? What strength does the woman bring to the marriage relationship? And why is marriage so incredibly important and valuable now more than ever? For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We'll be back after the news and all that. But till then, marriage, why bother? Well, there are many reasons. We'll be back soon. Think about it.
Is Christian Questions.
Cornel West once said, "We have to recognize that there cannot be relationships unless there is commitment, unless there is loyalty, unless there is love, patience, and persistence." Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. Jonathan, what's the subject?
Well, Rick, our question this morning is, marriage, why bother? And our theme text is found in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 28. But if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet, such will have trouble in this life, and I am trying to spare you. That's the Apostle Paul there.
Well, and you know what? There's a message there that says marriage is not a piece of cake. Marriage is difficult.
It's a challenge.
And look, there's no denying that. And so what our world has done, because what our world does with everything, our society today does with everything is, well, if something is difficult, I'm just not going to do it.
Yep.
I'm just going to find a way to work around it. I'm not going to bother to put myself in that position. And we suffer enormously.
I love the quote, Rick, this morning about loyalty, love, patience, persistence.
Yes.
I mean, those are formulas. Those are keys to a successful marriage.
That's what a successful marriage is. It's many things put together, and it is a lot of work. It's a lot of sweat equity on the part of both partners, and it requires them focusing themselves on doing this one thing together, no matter what. And having that attitude of no matter what, till death do us part. See, Jonathan, that's the part that's so much lost, is it's till something that works that happens that we can't overcome now. And we've lost the till death do us part.
Or until we fall out of love.
Yes.
that's one of those other...
And here's the thing about that. And, you know, the idea is, okay, you know, people fall in love and get married. Well, get up. If you fell, get up.
I like it.
And live in love.
Well, Rick, we have a secondary question for the program, and that is, so what is the real strength of a man in a marriage relationship, and also, what is the real strength of a woman in the marriage relationship? And right now, we're going to ask your lovely wife, Tricia, to help us out with this, what the real strength of a man is in a marriage relationship in your personal experience. So, Trish, give us your insight.
Yeah, she was going to do this in the first hour, but we got a phone call, and she's our call screener, so she had to run into the other room.
I was so grateful, too. So I'm assuming you mean besides snow blowing the driveway and fixing the house?
Yeah, I mean, I hope there's more than that.
Well, that's it. No, I think she's done.
Lovely.
Okay, well, I'll follow with some of the things that Jewel said. When we first met, your passion and enthusiasm and energy for God and for your life in Christ was what really attracted me, because we were both on that same road together, walking in Christ. So that would be my first thing. So, but as for me personally, as a woman and a Christian, what you add to my life, and would be, you know, that cliche that says you complete me. That's from a movie. Mm-hmm. You know, we all say yeah, but in reality, that's true, because all the things that I am not in life, you are. Stability, vision, wisdom that's not based on emotional roller coaster ride like me, are the things that you contribute to my life. Understanding, acceptance, and commitment to me, to who I really am. I have no fear of you walking away from me. I mean, I know that who I am, you are committed to, and I have no doubt that you don't support me 100% in our life with God together. So there's support, companionship, and friendship. So as we walk together on our journey in life, which for us is our walk in Christ, all these things together, for me, equal our love together. That's what love is this combination of our life together, and we are on this road forever together in God.
Awesome, Trish. Awesome.
Well, thank you, hon. That's just terrific.
Good
you know,
job.
And folks, again, you know what the point of this is, and Jonathan, we're going to hear from you, and...
Oh,
just got a
isn't
kiss.
That sweet?
I think that's my first kiss on the air ever.
I think so.
what we want to do is create a package here of personal experience. You know, we heard from our wives as the program goes on. We're going to hear from you and me about our wives and their contribution to us. And folks, the reason for this is so that we can look at the reality of what marriage is and how it works and how both parties must contribute mightily and not be afraid. You know, men today are afraid, and they ought not to be, because they're not being real men.
That's right, they're boys.
They need to grow up and realize that there is a lot that will be required of them, but that's what a man does.
They're missing out on
yes.
so much.
Yeah. So, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And go to our website, ChristianQuestions.com, and become a Twitter follower and learn about upcoming programs and new updates posted. Our website has over 500 archived programs. Go to ChristianQuestions.com.
Jonathan, some of the strengths of women in a marriage relationship, we won't read the scripture, we don't have the time. Luke 8:1-3 is about, you know, Jesus had the 12 following him, and there were several women following him as well. And these women were supplying their needs out of what they had.
What a support they were.
So women are instinctive givers.
Yes, they are.
That's one of the great strengths of women. They're instinctive givers, generally without thought to personal cost.
Yeah. Also, Rick, you skipped a scripture, Proverbs 21:19.
Oh, I did. Okay.
Oh, now you gave the men a hard time.
Okay.
Okay. You got it. You got it.
All right. Go ahead, read it. It's Jonathan's idea to read this, not mine.
It is better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman.
Okay, we did even the score there. That's right.
All right.
Let's go to a Canadian TV program talking about marriage, cohabitation, and all of those things. And this brings out, I think, a very valuable and important point as to how we look at marriage and what the problems are with the way we look at marriage.
In fact, Elizabeth, you think history shows we have romanticized the idea of marriage.
Exactly. We have romanticized it, and we go into this huge decision. Unlike if we buy a house, we research it and so on. We go into marriage informed by pop culture, by Britney Spears songs, and by all sorts of nonsensical fantasies. We don't prepare for it. We don't understand that it's real life. We focus so much on the actual wedding, this huge expensive thing. And then comes the day after and, you know, the years after. And it's like, boy, this is, wow, I didn't really prepare for this.
So the idea is that marriage is too romanticized. And I absolutely believe that's one of the big problems. And it's fun to have it romanticized, but at the same time, it's dangerous because you're not living in reality.
Good point.
Marriage takes work. Marriage takes effort. Marriage takes a day by day by day by day focus. That's what it takes. Proverbs 31:10-13 is a great place to begin discovering the strength and power of women in a marriage relationship.
An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight.
So in Proverbs 31, and we're going to be touching on those verses as we go through this subject, but there is a heart of her husband trusts in her. And that speaks volumes. If there is a deep and abiding trust between two people, then there is a foundation for the ability to marry.
That's right.
So that's a great place to start. Let's go back to Mark Gunger, because he is just so much fun to listen to. And he's talking about in this soundbite just simply doing the right things.
What is the key to a successful relationship? It's not about finding the right person. A successful relationship is based on two people doing the right things. And if you'll do the right things, you'll succeed. It's that simple. If you don't, you'll fail. And that's just equally as simple. The reason why people are struggling so hard today is not because they haven't found the right person. It's because they're doing all the wrong things. So I think the whole emphasis of trying to find that special cosmic person is a big mistake. That's not to say that single people shouldn't be thoughtful in the process. You want to find a good person. I mean, don't marry an idiot. People do that all the time, particularly women.
great. But again, it's doing the right things. And his point is doing the right things is the most important part of the whole marriage arrangement.
That's right.
And frankly, we live in a society that when we're required to do, we just don't want to because it's too much work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate because then we miss the value of doing. We just miss the value of doing. See, technology makes it so you press a button and you get it.
Right.
Marriage is not press a button and you get it.
This society has become lazy, Rick.
Right, incredibly lazy. Marriage is invest your life and you reap a continual flow of reward, but you have to continue to invest your life into it. And, you know, that sounds scary. Well, too bad if it's scary, because anything worth anything. You ask any great athlete how many thousands of hours they put into that one game or that one performance. And you will realize that for them, the thousands of hours of work and preparation is worth the performance. Same thing with marriage. It is an incredible amount of work worth the blessing. Do the right things. Put your spouse first. We won't read it, but John 13, 14, and 15, Jesus talking about washing one another's feet. Great example of servitude. Another part of a woman's strength is in her maturity and in her experience. Going back to Proverbs 31, verses 25 to 27.
Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teachings of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness.
So strength and dignity are her clothing. Now think about the picture. And if you are looking at or looking for a spouse, strength and dignity are her clothing.
That's a great
example. You have to be willing to be patient to find somebody who's got those values to them. With marriage, it's like that old saying, Jonathan, if you want something you've never had, you have to be willing to do what you've never done.
I like that.
And
that's so true.
It's stepping out. It's stepping out and putting ourselves in a position to do that. Part of a woman's strength is also in her example, how she comes across to those around her. Proverbs 31, 28 and 29.
Her children rise up and bless her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all.
So again, we have the scripture, the Proverbs scripture, that is saying that she is an example, a living example to those around her. And you know, that's a special kind of woman.
And we want to hear from you about what is the real strength of a man in a marriage relationship, and what is the real strength of a woman in the marriage relationship? Give us a call at 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
And again, for men especially, because we're men here. You know, when you're looking at the marriage relationship, it's a matter of making a decision and deciding, I will do this because it's the right thing, and it puts things in the greatest perspective for a happy and peaceful and joyful life, and I will support this.
Yes.
And man up and go do it. Let's go back to the story of Nick Wojcik and his finding his wife to be, and the incredible story of how he proposes to her. This is
a man without arms and legs.
Yes, incredible man. Let's listen to the story of the proposal.
Ever the romantic, Nick proposed on a yacht in Santa Barbara last year. One potential problem: how to put the ring on her finger. It was solved by Nick's ingenuity. He used his mouth.
I'm going, baby, can I kiss your hand? And I'm going, mwah, 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 but a left hand.
Right.
And I put the ring down her finger all the way. And she's like, what are you doing?
I'm biting my finger.
I'm biting your finger.
And I was like, why is he biting my finger?
So I put it all the way down, and I pull back, and she sees there's a ring on it. And she just, her face, her big eyes, tears immediately. And I said, baby, I love you. Would you marry me and spend the rest of your life with me?
What a great example. What a great inspiration.
Wow.
I love you. Would you marry me and spend the rest of your life with me? And there's so much value in that statement.
There is.
Spend the rest of your life with me. Jonathan, this last scripture before the break, part of a woman's strength is in the depth and beauty of her soul.
Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her work praise in her in the gates.
So the value of the woman, the greatest value is within and not without. And boy, there is great power in that.
You're listening to Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, marriage. Why bother? Coming up, we all know marriages are going to have problems. What are they? And how do you overcome them? What are the solutions? What every couple needs to know? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, marriage. Why bother? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
And Jonathan, in this segment, in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you about the strength that your wife brings to your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So, folks, that's coming up in just a few minutes. But right now, let's talk about a little bit about some of the problems, some of the difficulties that are intrinsic in the marriage relationship. And one of them is a huge difficulty, especially, well, I don't know if it's especially, but I know it is very much on the men's side, and that is the difficulty of misinformation going into and surrounding the whole marriage covenant and the marriage idea. We're going to listen to a quick soundbite. This is from Hill Harper, the actor, who is very, very involved in men actually growing up and being real men.
Okay, good.
And I really love what he has to say about male misinformation.
Number one, if you think about it, there's a lot of misinformation that we men spread amongst each other. And let's break down a couple of them. Number one, it's not that cool for the happily married guys. And if you break it down percentage-wise, guys, if you just do factors of happiness and factors of achievement, etc., are happier in marriage than not. Okay? Yeah. But most guys, if you polled single men and asked them that question, they would say the exact opposite. Why? Because it's not that cool for happily, you know, guys that are married. They don't show up at the court or at the, you know, having a beer saying, oh, my wife is treating me so good today. Right? They just keep quiet about it. Mm-hmm. But the guys, that smaller percentage that are unhappy, they're very vocal. Oh, she's on my back. Oh, never get married. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. Right? And so a lot of single guys get this misinformation about what marriage really is.
Right.
They think it's just, you know, a woman on your back the whole time.
He broke it down in a very, very powerful way. First of all, men, listen to this. Statistics bear out that men are more productive and happier and more fulfilled in their lives if they are married. That means not living together. That means married. And why is that? Jonathan, there is a world of difference between the idea of living together and the idea of marriage.
That's right.
A world of difference in how your brain approaches it.
How about manning up and saying how wonderful your wife is to those around you?
Yeah, well, and that's
why
just,
not?
It's just not cool. It's just not cool out there.
Well,
it
should be. Let's make it the new cool.
Yeah, Jonathan and I are the authors of cool. You know that, right? But, you know, it's such a powerful problem that the misinformation is, oh, yeah, you know, you really shouldn't do that because, you know, she's always on your back. But the people that are happiest are the ones that are involved in that marriage relationship. That's a fact. Holding grudges, complaining are never good things, and they're often based in misinformation. Proverbs 19:11-13.
A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. The contentions of a wife are the constant dripping.
Okay, so the glory of a man is to be able to deal with the difficulties on the side of the woman. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about the difficulties on the side of a man.
Yes.
There are difficulties the other side, too.
Drip. Drip. Drip.
Careful. Careful. Your wife is sitting right next to you. Careful. The point is that we must be able to overcome both of the weaknesses, because both sexes have weaknesses.
Yes, we do.
And that's okay. That's part of the marriage involvement. That's what we do to deal with it. Letting anger or resentment fester, that's another area of problem. And it's going to hurt tomorrow. And again, anger and resentment are often based in misinformation. Ephesians 4:25-27.
Therefore, lay aside falsehood. Speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity.
Okay, so the scriptures, and it's interesting, all of the areas that would be potential difficulties in a marriage, the scriptures give a resolution to.
They do, and this one is big, Rick.
Yeah, it is, it is. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath.
That means make up before you go to sleep at night.
And even if you can't come to an agreement, it should be put on the table.
Yes.
Because once a difficulty is put on the table and there is communication, that is a major part of solving any issue. Any
Absolutely.
Issue. Let's go back to Mark Gunger. I love this guy, Jonathan. He just makes me laugh, and he's so right on when he discusses marriage. And he's talking about the idea that we're just talking about here, putting hard work into the marriage. That's the most important thing we could possibly do.
The reason people are expecting marriage to be easy is because of this ridiculous thinking of a soulmate. The concept is, if you'll find the right person, then it's easy. Then they'll automatically know what you need in life, and you'll be on the same cosmic wavelength, meeting each other's needs, which is just ridiculous. If you want someone to meet your needs, you need to communicate those needs to someone. Don't sit around thinking, gee, if he really loved me, I wouldn't have to tell him. Of course you have to tell him. Nobody can tell. Nobody's walking around with ESP in their brains, particularly men. You know, marriage is hard. It's always been hard. And the Bible is clear about it. It's not like the Bible's holding out on us.
Yeah, remember that scripture. You know, I'm trying to spare you difficulty.
Exactly.
But, you know, he says something very, very powerful. The idea, the romanticization, I don't know if that's a word, but if it wasn't, it is now, okay?
No, thanks for that, Rick.
Yeah. Have fun with that in the rewind thing, Joel. The idea that, well, what, if I had the right person, then things would just naturally flow, is a pile of nonsense. That's just not the way it is. Life doesn't work that way.
Communicate.
Right. And you can still have the right person, but everything is not perfect. Everything is never going to be in place exactly. Ever. That doesn't make the marriage vow, the marriage covenant, anything less. It actually makes it more, because that's where we put the work and the effort and the communication in. Folks, if you have a thought, we're talking about marriage and the issues and the problems with marriage, and also the good things. And Jonathan, right after I give the number, we're going to go to you. What do you think about the state of marriage in our world today? What is the strength of a man and a woman in the marriage relationship? Give us a call at 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And if you have any questions on our subject, give us a call or ask your questions at christianquestions.com, or go to our Facebook, become our friend on Facebook, or email us at rick@christianquestions.net. Let's say right, .net.
That's the email, rick@christianquestions.net. Okay, Jonathan, your turn. What are some of the strengths that your wife, Jewel, brings to your particular marriage?
Well, she gives me strength. her understanding of right and wrong is inspiring. She keeps me on track.
You know, that's
with,
a hard
with
one.
With the way she thinks. It is true. I am high maintenance. Thank you, love. Her respect and trust for me, even when I'm down, is amazing, which gives me confidence that I can be better, you know, than I think I am at that point. Her mothering care is amazing. Her concern for others and her reminders to me to make sure I don't forget to do the things I should as a man or as a husband. And she makes up for my weaknesses. And the thing is, she doesn't point my weaknesses out to everybody. She makes up for them and helps me so I don't look weak, even though I have many weaknesses. So I just respect her so highly because she does so much for me.
So, folks, if you hear that, what you hear, and there's some clapping in the background, that's my wife clapping, what you hear is the, and how long have you been married?
26 years.
Okay, so after 26 years, now see, people look at marriage and think, well, don't you get tired of each other after all that time? Obviously, you don't hear that in all of this. And what you are hearing is the value of that relationship that each party decides they are going to invest themselves into without any reservation, and you're seeing the results of that as it blossoms over years and years of trials, difficulties, blessings, happiness, sadness, all of those things. And you come out the other end of those years stronger and more capable because of your spouse. And you know what, Jonathan? The thing is, you don't come out more capable because of your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your live-in companion.
No.
Folks, that does not produce the same. Look around you. Just look around you, and it's a very obvious thing. You only get these things through that decision to be in that marriage. Generally, Aries, thanks, Jonathan. Great job there. Pride and ego are behind a lot of our maritally destructive behavior. Proverbs 16, 18 and 19.
Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. It is better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud.
All right. So, and again, there is a scriptural remedy for every issue that comes up, and pride is such an issue.
It is. Selfishness is really where it stems.
In a marriage relationship. Another scriptural principle that applies to the marriage union, this is not about marriage, this next scripture, at all, but it has a principle that actually supports and builds up the marriage union.
Now, concerning food, sacrifice to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him.
So what we have here is the phrase, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up.
Yes.
This is not romantic love that's being talked about.
No.
This is that selfless, benevolent giving without worrying about receiving love that's being talked about.
And the folks, highest form of love.
That is the kind of love that our marriage should be based on. And if you are getting married because of romantic love, well, you better think again. Okay, if you're moving in together because of romantic love, you know, you're being foolish.
You're wasting time.
You're not only wasting time, but you are building a legacy of pain. That's what you do when you do not put yourselves into that committed type of a relationship that marriage requires. You are building a legacy of pain and of failure.
Even though society is saying, "Oh, that's the way to do it."
Right. Look around you. Count how many failed relationships there are of people who live together. Go ahead. I dare you. Go out and count. You will be astounded. And when we look at marriages and say one in two fails, that is a pittance compared to the failure rate.
That's right.
Of other things. And that tells you a great, great story here. Let's go back to our story. Again, we're talking about problems. Let's go back to that great story of inspiration of Nick Wojcik and his incredible wife and this dream come true for the two of them.
If there is anyone in this world who deserves to find happiness, it's Nick Wojcik. He's overcome huge challenges in his life, and no doubt there are more to come. But for Nick and Kanaya, life right now is pretty good. 4 years ago, we sat on this beach here in Malibu and we talked about your dreams and hopes for the future. It seems they've come true.
Here we are.
It's amazing. Why not? Our dreams do come true. And she's the greatest dream that's ever come true for me.
And you hear that, you say, that is the can't. How can you have a greater dream come true for a guy like that?
You can't.
Again, the man has no arms and no legs. But see, Jonathan, he has lived in such a way that the dream was capable of coming true.
And she does not look at him as if he's handicapped.
Right.
She looks at him as a man, the head of the household, her true love.
And she looks at him as a full, complete man.
Absolutely.
Even though she must be extraordinary.
Absolutely.
To dedicate herself to having to care for him physically the way she would have to care for him. She has to be an extraordinary individual, but she sees the completeness in him.
Oh, yeah.
And is willing to make up the differences because of his physical inabilities.
That's so beautiful.
But again, dreams can come true, but we have to live in such a way to open the door for the dreams. See, dreams don't come true because, oh, I dream them. Dreams come true because I build them. Because I invest in them, because I put the foundation there so they can grow off of them. That's the only way dreams can come true. And that's what everybody wants. Everybody wants the dream to come true in their life.
Oh yeah.
But you know, in most lives it doesn't, because we don't put in the time, the effort, and the work. Jonathan, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's the love chapter. And we're just gonna touch on two points very quickly here. Love is patient. Is one of the thoughts from 1 Corinthians 13:4, Colossians 3:12-13.
So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you.
Love is patient. It is willing to wait. It's long-spirited. Love is kind. We won't read the scripture, but love has patience and kindness. And again, this is the kind of love that is not romantic love, but it's a much higher form of love. These are the ways to deal with the issues and difficulties of marriage.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, marriage, why bother? Coming up, what is love? I mean, how do you put it in words? What is Rick's favorite word for love and marriage? It's been hard not saying it. I know Rick's having a hard time, but soon, Rick, soon. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, marriage, why bother? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, christianquestions.com.
And Jonathan, we are going through marriage, and we went through several problems of marriage.
And I told you not to say this word throughout the program.
And it killed me.
Totally. You've been so frustrated. You can say it now.
Okay. My favorite word in all of the world in relation to marriage, to me, it is the absolute secret and basis of everything. You know, we always say, you know, is love the answer? Is love really the answer?
Right, yeah.
Well, yes, love is the answer, but let me spell love for you. It is spelled C-O-M-M-I-T-M-E-N-T. Love is spelled commitment. That's the answer.
First and foremost,
it's commitment. Before everything else, there needs to be commitment. During everything that happens, there needs to be commitment. After it's all over, there needs to be commitment. If you have commitment, you have the ingredient.
Success.
For success. Absolutely, positively. Let's go to a chorus of a song by Leanne Rimes, and the song's name is Commitment. Let's listen.
I need honor and love in my life so we can be successful.
Right, from somebody who's playing for keeps.
Right.
Commitment. I need somebody whose staying power will make me go weak in the knees. Whose staying power. Not whose romanticism, but whose staying power. That's the key. That's the secret. And men, the idea of living together is there is no commitment in that. And my response to you is, man up.
Rick, let's go to the phones. We have Randall from Connecticut. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Happy Sunday, guys.
To you, too.
And we have Hebrews 10:35. Do not, therefore, abandon that confidence of yours. It brings a great reward. Back in the day before text, when couples were separated by distance or time, they communicated by correspondence. Now, that word means exchanging letters, of course, but it also means a close similarity, a connection, and that's something that develops with time. Proverbs 2:2, making you ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Correspondence sent by horseback or ship took time, and people took time to write those letters. So it is with marriage. The Christian does not expect a marriage to develop quick, like a text. The Christian knows that marriage is a letter, a love letter, a long one, written to each other and to God. James 1:4, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing.
Randall, thanks so much. Truly
God
appreciate
bless you
it.
Take care.
Marriage is a long, long love letter. And he's right.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And it's written throughout your life. That's what it is. And that's the commitment that drives it. And anything less than that full commitment, Jonathan, is a recipe for pain.
And think of the heritage that's passed down to your children based on the strength of your marriage.
Or based on the weakness of your lack of commitment.
Ooh.
See, you've got to see it from both sides. And, you know, you wonder why we're in such a situation where there are so many children growing up with only one parent and there's so much of a lack of responsibility. The answer is because the committed relationships weren't there to begin with. And if you commit yourself first and foremost, even when it's not perfect, you are in so much better shape. Randall, thanks. Great, great thoughts there. Love is not envious, Jonathan. Another part of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's look at James 4, 1-5.
The conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from the cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts.
You covet things and can't obtain them, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. And that's one of the issues that can rise up in a marriage, is the envy of one another.
And don't put things above each other.
Oh, man. What a dastardly mistake that is.
Absolutely.
And again, it comes down to that central core commitment of your life. It's not just words. Words are great tools, but words are merely a conduit for something greater inside of you. And we need to learn how to use the tool of words to express the commitment and then show our commitment through our actions. And envy is one of those things that just pulls things apart rather than pulls things together. One last time, Jonathan, let's go back to Mark Gunger, The Tale of Two Brains. And this is an interesting, he's going to be talking about some statistics here. And men, you notice how he really focuses on men?
Oh, he does.
And all the work men need to do.
Uh-huh.
Listen to this statistic of men who are married.
And statistically speaking, married people live longer than single people. This is particularly true for men. Statistically speaking, one of the most dangerous things a man can do in America today is remain single. It is the equivalent of smoking 2.5 packets of cigarettes a day. It's true. They found that if you take someone who has 2.5 packets of cigarettes a day and the health problems and the shortness of life and all the difficulties, and a single guy is pretty much the same. I guess the worst would be a single guy who smokes 2.5 packets of cigarettes a day.
He is so funny.
So statistically, longevity is attached to marriage.
Well, Rick, now it's time. What is the real strength of a woman in the marriage relationship in your personal experience?
Jonathan, there is much to be said there, and we'll start with this. You've known me for a long time.
Oh yeah,
I've always got my head in the clouds. I'm always, focusing on some ethereal vision somewhere on something, right?
Absolutely.
And for somebody like me, what I need is someone who has their feet firmly on the ground, who is very clear and simply stable. And that's what Trish, one of the things that Trish brings to our relationship. I've got the ideas and the passion and this energy, and she just has that stability that incredibly balances the two of us. And you know, she said, I'm all the things that she's not.
Right.
Well, she's all the things that I'm not. One of the things that's important is I'm a good listener by nature,
mm-hmm.
but she has taught me what to listen for.
Oh, neat.
And especially in raising children and when there's issues. And I'm in a situation where many times a lot of people come to me with issues and difficulties. And she helps me put it in perspective and look at what to look for and what to listen for. And that takes what God has given to me, and it magnifies its ability. Because without that ingredient, it's like when you're trying to bake bread and you put all the ingredients together. But if you don't put the yeast in, the bread can't rise.
Right.
Well, and that's what she is, in our relationship. She's like the yeast that helps me to rise. And the thing about our life together is Christian Questions. You and I mean, nobody gets paid for anything here.
No, we don't.
And it takes an enormous amount of work to prepare each and every week for a 2-hour broadcast.
And which the bulk of that is on your shoulders.
And what happens is for 3 or 4 evenings a week, I'm just focused on getting the job done. And it takes a very special person to be able to not only accept it, but to embrace that.
To encourage
yes,
you.
To embrace it. And what she does for me is she plows the road. She plows the road and makes it so I can do the things that God has put in front of me, so I can not only do them, but I can do them without worry and without concern and with encouragement behind me. There is no drip, 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 drip behind me. There's a what can I get you? How's it going? Is there something I can do for you? How, what's your subject? What are you working? There's that co-equal working together.
What a team. That's great teamwork.
This program would not exist if it weren't for my wife. And folks, I'll tell you, this has been a dedication of my life, but it wouldn't be possible without my wife, Trish. And so those are some of the strengths. And not even to mention the way when we raised our children, the way that she would help me focus on the right things to do and to say with them. And what to look for. I just can't stress that enough. So those are a few of the things in our life.
Aww, Trish, you're wonderful.
But Jonathan, you understand that when you two people are committed to one another and they have the same goal and the same direction. Yes, dear.
That's the second kiss.
That's the second
on Christian
kiss.
Questions.
Yeah. When two people, thank you, hon, have the same goal on the same direction and the same focus, and they are committed to one another and committed to God, there is an incredible power that is unleashed. And folks, who are we to minimize such incredible power? I ask you. Love is not boastful. Love is not arrogant. We'll hold those for now. I want to get to the last piece of the story of Nick Wojcik, because, so he's married and they live happily ever after, but there is one more chapter here.
Ooh, what is it?
So let's listen.
Great joy that we're very much looking forward to. We're pregnant.
Fantastic.
Your son Kiyosh is on the way.
Tell us about your little boy you're having.
Well, let me tell you, it was a big surprise for us. We always said, we're gonna wait 2 years before we have kids, and it happened. And this is our baby. It was 15 weeks,
mm-hmm.
right? Now it's 17 weeks, but it was 15 weeks when we were there, and we could see everything. His both of his hands, both of his feet, his brain.
Look at
those
little hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How sweet.
Isn't that amazing? And the idea that the child, now the child's been born, and two arms, two legs, and
healthy as anything.
There's a sigh of relief. And so Nick, because he lived his life the way he did, because he was committed to higher things and powerful things, and his faith in God really helped to drive him through all of this. He's been blessed in a very special way.
He has.
But he's lived a committed life all along. So when you see a dream come true and say, oh, I'd like to have a dream come true. Well, the question is, okay, great, you'd like to have a dream come true. What is the level of commitment you have lived with your life so that dream could possibly come true? That's the real question here. So folks, that's the answer.
Do your part.
Yes.
Do your part.
And what does it mean to do your part? What it simply means is we need to be committed one to another. And you know, Jonathan, our commitment comes through God as well. We really are running out of time here. Let's go to a final scripture. We wanted to touch on 1 Corinthians 13, just did not have time. Last scripture, Ecclesiastes 4:12.
Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken.
So, and that's an interesting text, Jonathan. We always talk about it. Two together are better than one. There's an obvious, clear strength there. But then it says a cord of three strands cannot quickly be broken. And it's that third strand that does make that cord very, 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 very strong.
Which is God, Rick.
Right. So if we put God into our marriage commitment. Now, you know, the marriage vow is actually, by scripture, a covenant that's made before God.
That's
with,
right.
With God as a witness. When we bring God into the picture and intertwine him into our commitment to one another, there is, and I hesitate to use the word, but there's magic that happens. And again, it's not really magic, it's blessing that happens.
Yes, yes.
And the blessing is that we are committed to one another, and we are looking at our lives in such a way that we can not have to worry about things. We're going to close our program here going back to Leanne Rimes and the song about commitments. For Jonathan and Rick and Christian Questions, folks, it's about commitment. It's about living our lives in such a way that we are focused on doing the right things. Make the marriage work. Be committed. Until next week, for Jonathan and Rick, marriage, father, will you? Think about it.